Thanks to the organizers for giving me this opportunity to talk here. And it's going to be again looking at some examples of planar algebras. And basically, I'll give you an identification between two examples here. And as you saw in Jones's talk, it will be a sort of continuation from there. So let me first give you an overview of what exactly I'll be talking about. So what I mean by subgroups of factors is that if you have a outer action of a finite group on the hyperfinite 2-1 factor, and if you have a subgroup of that group, then you get this pair of 2-1 factors, and this is what is known as the subgroups of factor. And as discussed by Jones, the tower of relative commutants of this subgroups of factor admits a planar algebra structure. I mean, it's the subfactor planar algebra structure. So this is it. Now, what I would like to convey to you is that I would like to give you a concrete model for this planar algebra. And that is again given by another example given by Jones. So what he discussed in his talk was that given any finite bipartite graph, one can associate a planar algebra structure to it. Okay? What I would be interested in telling you is that if you consider this bipartite graph with n even vertices and just one odd vertex, and you consider the spin function whose squares give the parent Frobenius eigenvector for that graph, then if you look at the planar algebra of that bipartite graph, and I mean the group G has an obvious action on the right coset that induces an action on that bipartite graph, and we consider the G invariant planar subalgebra of this planar algebra of the bipartite graph star N. And what I will show you is that these two planar algebras are same. I mean, I think I just came to know that Jones in his, I don't know why he calls it still pre-print, quadratic tangles and planar algebras. He has mentioned something of this type, that this graph N star, if you look at the invariance of the planar algebra of that graph, that comes as the planar algebra of subgroups of factors. And so let's start it, and the outline would be a bit straightforward. We'll first try to get hold of a model for the basic construction tower of the subgroups of factor, which we will use afterwards. And then in terms of that model, we will try to identify some good basis for the relative commutants of this subfactor. And then, okay, in short, I'll tell you, we'll just recall what Jones told you, how do you associate a planar algebra to a bipartite graph. And then finally, I'll show how the two planar algebras are same. And from there, we can also get hold of a planar algebra, of a concrete model for the planar algebra of the fixed subfactor. Fine, so towards getting hold of a model for the tower of basic construction, this is an elementary fact. So if you have a pair of, if you have this triplet of 2-1 factors n in m in M1, which is, say, the basic construction for the subfactor n in m, then for any finite index set, this matrix functor gives you another instance of basic construction of 2-1 factors. It's fairly elementary to check by using a Popper's characterization for basic construction. And then another fact is that if you have an integer valued subfactor, say, with index being n, and you can always find an orthonormal basis with those many elements, then if you consider this map where you let m fit in the mi of n via this conditional expectation, then it turns out that these two towers are isomorphic. And these are the two facts that we'll need to get hold of a model for the tower of basic construction. So what I need to give you is an orthonormal basis for the subgroup subfactor. So here is it. Let us give a right coset decomposition of H in G. We'll choose some representatives and call them GIs, I's 1 through N. Then what turns out is that these elements UGIs forms an orthonormal basis for this subgroup for this subfactor. And therefore, using the previous lemma, what we have is that these towers are isomorphic at that level, and then we just use the matrix functor to this tower repeatedly and get hold of these isomorphisms at each level. And we inductively define these capital thetas by the matrix functor. So let us patch it up, and what we get is this whole model for the tower. So we have this tower of basic construction, and we'll be working with it. So now, to get hold of, to understand the standard invariant, or in particular the tower of relative commutants of n, we need to know how n fits in the higher MIs. And that is given by this map, which is, I mean, this has been shown in monograph by Jones and Sundar in Introduction to Subfactors, I suppose. So this appears there, and how to identify the elements in the relative commutants. There what happens is that a funny looking group action comes into picture. So basically they have used this group action there to get and in fact they have used it quite cleverly to get hold of the principal graph and the dual graphs for the subgroups of factors. And it comes to use for our work also here. So let us first see that. So with this group action, what turns out is that there is an this. If you consider this subset yk, I mean, where this h of product gi's and h of product gj's are same, this turns out to be invariant under the g action, the diagonal g action there. And what further turns out is that the h orbits of yk's, they give indexing for the basis of this the relative commutants of n in m2k minus 1. And likewise we have an indexing of the indexing of a basis in the relative commutants of n in m2k given by the h orbits of ik cross ik. So we have let us call those bases by that square bracket ij odd and square bracket ij even corresponding to m2k minus 1 and m2k. So we have one set of orbit bases here. And now let us go to the other side, towards the planar algebra of that bipartite graph. Okay. So first of all, yeah, let us just recall what Jones told you in the morning, afternoon. So given a finite bipartite graph with a so-called spin function, we take this pk gammas for k greater than or equal to 1 to be the vector space generated by the loops on gamma based at even vertices. And so he didn't introduce this zero minus colors. Those are basically for the triangles which have black regions near the outer circle as well. So we include those also. And we define P is plus minus zero gamma to be the vector space generated by the even and odd vertices. And this is quite elementary. One can show that if you just flip the graph, then the planar algebra corresponding to that flipped graph is the same as the dual of the planar algebra of the initial graph. This and the notion of dual is crucial just for the second fact that we'll be discussing, to get hold of the planar algebra of the fixed subfactor. Because there is this fact proved in the paper by Kodial and Sundar that if the dual of the planar algebra of a subfactor is the same as the planar algebra of the dual of that subfactor. Okay, so now let me tell you what I mean by a group action on a bipartite graph. So this is basically an action of a group which preserves the parity of the vertices. I mean, the even vertices remain even and the odds remain odd. And what I demand for this spin function is that it should be constant on the G orbits. Now what is nice about this type of action is that it induces a G action on the planar algebra, which basically means that the isomorphisms that the group gives commute with the triangle actions. Right? And therefore what we have is that if you consider the invariants of this planar algebra, they form a planar subalgebra. Now this is also quite obvious. The identification that we had previously between the dual of a planar algebra of a bipartite graph and the planar algebra of the flip of that bipartite graph also gives this fact. You just keep it in mind. I'll use this for the last identification. Fine, so here is the graph star n that we'll be using. So it has n even vertices and just one odd vertex, and the mu function is given by 1 for all the even vertices and n power 1 by 4 for the odd vertex, and its square basically is the parent Frobenius eigenvector for that is the matrix of this graph. And now as mentioned earlier, that this group gives a natural action on the bipartite graph star n because of its action on the right cosets. Fine. And it's quite elementary that the planar algebra, the invariant planar algebra of this planar algebra is connected, which means that dimension of P0 and P0 plus and 0 minus are both 1. And it is irreducible as well. I mean, dimension of P1 is 1 because G acts transitively on this G mod H. Okay? Now, let us simplify the notations a little bit. I mean, so when we have a 2K loop, we just replace it by this 2K tuple to just to make it easy to work afterwards. And likewise, we'll do for odd as cases as well. So, by the definition of this planar algebra of a bipartite graph, what we have now is that basis for the even cases, say P2R star N, is given by these tuples. Okay? And it's quite obvious then that the G invariant sets there will have a basis given by the orbits of these tuples, the G orbits of these tuples, the set of these tuples. So we'll just write square for that orbit, square bracket that tuple. And similar analysis, I mean, holds for the odd case as well. Right? Now, okay, here this is quite obvious that for the 0 plus and 0 minus, it's just the sum over all the vertices on both sides. They give a basis for the corresponding vector space. And this is the theorem, that the planar algebra for the subgroups of factor is the same as the planar algebra, the G invariant planar algebra of the bipartite graph star N. And so I just need to give you an isomorphism between these two planar algebras. So what we have is that on the left, the relative commutants were indexed by h orbits of some sets. I mean, yk when it was odd and ik cross ik when it was even. And on the other hand, it is indexed by the g orbits on those many copies of g mod h. So I just need to give you an identification or bijection. I mean, and that bijection should somehow take care of the group action on both sides. And in fact, that is motivated by the definition of the group action itself. So for 0 plus and 0 minus, we don't have any choice because it's one dimensional on both sides. We just put it to be the identity of scalars. And for the other cases, we just place it in such a way that this thing happens. I mean, for the ij odd, we send it to the orbit of those tuples given there, so you'll just have to go through it. It just comes from the way the group actions were defined on this I set. So this is the map that gives us the desired isomorphism. And to check that this is an isomorphism, I mean, to check it with each and every tangle would not have been possible easily. So, but there is this generating set of tangles which appears in Kodialam and Sundar's paper. So they say that these collections are enough to check the commutativity of the map phi with the action of these tangles is enough to show that it's a planar algebra isomorphism. And let me just show you which are these tangles. So these are the ones. The inclusion and multiplication, conditional expectation, right and left ones, and just the Jones projections, whatever they appear to. Fine, so given this theorem, what follows immediately are the following. One direct thing is that since the planar algebra that we have on the right has nothing to do with the outer action, so it says again that the subfactor has nothing to do with the outer action as well. So after that, if you consider the Poincaré series for the subgroups of factors, the coefficients are given by this expression. This is basically application of this Nord-Bernstein's lemma to count the number of G orbits of k copies of G mod H. That expression comes from there. And the other thing is nice to observe is that, see, the full automorphism group of this bipartite graph star range is Sn. Fine? And on the other hand, the Sn invariant planar subalgebra of P star N is the same as the planar algebra of R cross Sn minus 1 sitting in R cross Sn. So what we see is that the planar algebra for any pair of groups with index N is always sandwiched in between the planar algebra of star N and the Sn invariant planar algebra of star N. Okay, fine. And then the other things that follow from here are this. So the dual things, as I had promised. So we know that if the dual of the subgroup subfactor is precisely the fixed subfactor thing. And another fact, as I mentioned earlier, was that the dual of the planar algebra of a subgroup subfactor is the same as the planar algebra of the dual of that subfactor. And also that other result that we saw before. Now, combining all these things, it's quite easily seen that the planar algebra of this fixed subfactor turns out to be the G-invariant planar algebra of the flip of the star n graph. And from here, again, this sandwiching theorem follows, as we saw for the previous case. So this is all about the subgroup subfactor. Now, from here, what would be nice to see is that does similar things happen for the half algebra case, finite dimensional half algebra case. And what is not clear is that how do I define an action of a half algebra on a planar algebra? So half symmetries need to be understood for planar algebras, which we are still not clear about. I think that's all I have to say, and here are the references that I talked about.